You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is Thursday morning. That means it is time for Historically Speaking with our historically correct friend, Dr. Daniel Harmelink from Concordia Historical Institute. Good morning, Dr. Harmelink.
It's great to be back in St. Louis after a week in Milwaukee.
Being conventional.
It was very conventional, but CHI was unconventional at this convention. So we had a fantastic display. I want to thank all that stopped by to get to know CHI better, the things that God has called us to do as a historical institute. And we were serious where we needed to be serious, and we had a little fun too.
I heard there was a special visitor there.
There's a special visitor. The first president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod showed up, and the amazing thing is now he's 9 feet tall. So he looks pretty good. He hasn't aged that much, but anyway. So we had CFW Walther not only at the CHI booth, but also around the exhibit hall and into the convention hall, just to remind people of the rich history of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. So it was received well.
It certainly got some attention.
It did. We had hundreds of people take photos. We had a serviceman challenge CFW Walther to how many push-ups they could do. So things like that. It was a fantastic convention in that sense, and God continues to be gracious to the Institute.
Well, thanks be to God for the many people who were able to be a part of the convention. I was able to watch a little bit online and hear from Kip each morning. So it was
People were nervous. I mean, there was a little tension in the air the first couple of days of the convention. But I think once the actual business of the convention began, people could see a little progress.
I think the worship and study, I heard great things about that. I wasn't able to watch during those times, but heard the worship and studies were great.
I mean, it's hard work. I mean, yeah. People think, I'll just go as a delegate and it'll just be a lot of fun. it's a lot of hard work. So there, at the end of this week, there will be a lot of exhausted people.
Who has ever said
that it's only every 3 years?
Who has ever said, I'll go as a delegate, it'll be a lot of fun? Who said that to you?
Milwaukee is a
well,
a fun
yes,
town.
Yes. But who said I'll go as a delegate? It'll be a lot of fun. Well, everybody knows that being a delegate is work.
Historically speaking, I was talking to someone and they were an alternate, uh-huh. And just a few days before someone sure. got sick, and so they weren't planning on coming. So,
so they had a lot of reading to do.
Well, they were responsible, so they had done reading just mm-hmm. in case.
Good.
So to all those who took the time to read all of the materials before the convention so that they could be informed when it comes to voting, hats off to them.
Absolutely. It's a lot of work, and I'm thankful. I have attended as an advisory delegate before, and I know that it's a lot of work, and I mean, several days of meeting, so it can wear on you, especially a lot of days of sitting. It can take a while, you know.
Right. So it's a good, good mix of worship services, SAS presenting, mm-hmm. and that's where the batteries are recharged. So in heaven, there will be no synodical conventions, but in this life, they are necessary, even though they're not a lot of fun. So the CHI and our big CFW Walther, we tried to bring a little levity to the situation, but in a respectful way.
Hey, thanks for sending Mark over last week, by the way. Gave us a little history on convention, synodical conventions.
Did you grill him?
You know, that man is sharp. I've every question I threw out, he had an answer instantly. He's like a walking encyclopedia.
It's amazing. And this is our whole reference and research staff. So people call on the telephone, or they just pop in asking the most off-the-wall questions you could imagine. And
he was
hats
prepared.
Off to the
yeah.
CHI staff. Well, everyone at CHI. Sometimes we get thrown a curveball.
Sure, but it's well-read, and he was ready to answer questions that I know he didn't have written down before he came in.
Oh, that point, yeah. It's all there.
Yeah.
So one of the questions that we received at the convention, people are doing genealogies, they're doing family histories, that kind mm-hmm. of thing. So I thought, and I think this is up your alley too, providing more resources for people to do oral histories, to sit down and interview people to get their life experiences and to, in some ways, preserve that.
Yeah.
So 14 years ago, all of human history changed. In 2002, it was the first video camera that had been engineered into a phone. And just imagine, 15 years ago, there wasn't any of this. Now it's just...
Everybody, most people have a mobile device with a recording device
in it. And they're using it, right?
Yeah.
So when Walther's doing push-ups, people just... They don't pull out their video recorder camera.
Right. camcorders you had to put on your shoulder.
Right. But everyone's right there with a cell phone and boom, recording video. I think in our society, you know, if you want, there are strengths and weaknesses. But again, we're to the point that our police officers, anyone who wants to document history, events, it's like video it.
Not just document it. We want to share it with everybody
and
right away, too.
Yeah, YouTube and things like that. So, I mean, we're to the point that everyone thinks that if it's not video recorded, that it's just your conjecture.
It didn't
happen. But KFUO, you know, you're basically fundamentally an audio service. And so I think the audio recording still has its place.
Absolutely. Audio makes you smart. I'm not kidding.
How is that, Andy?
I'm not kidding. We retain more when we listen rather than watching a video. Mm-hmm. We learn more.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's more difficult. You have to do more prep. You have to do more research. You have to sharpen your skills when you're interviewing someone using audio, right? So sometimes you get this idea. It's like, okay, and kids do this. Elementary school kids do this with their grandparents. You know, the teacher says, okay, sit down with one of your grandparents and interview them. And so obviously there's some familiarity, no pun intended, with their situation. But this idea about you just go in cold and you just ask questions and just let the person being interviewed take it where... It has to be a responsible partnership. But again, active listening, we've lost that skill.
I think the first time I learned about that directly was high school speech class. I think that was the first time that I learned, even heard that phrase, active listening, and what that means.
Right. So in the course of a week, how many people do you interview, basically?
I mean, count.
It's a lot. So, you're a master at this. And when people want to do a genealogy or family history or whatever... recording, doing an oral history, I think is super important. So CHI, I think in the next several months, we'd like to give people more resources so that they can do a responsible job and just not, okay, I bought a tape recorder now. Now I'll just mail it off to my uncle or aunt and have them.
Do you have one of those micro cassette recorders?
We do.
Did you use one though? Do you remember using those back in... '80s, '90s
with the cassette,
the micro cassettes. Yeah,
we're completely beyond that now.
I know.
So again, you know, it's capturing history in our at CHI. We talk about we're basically charged with doing four things: retrieve, record, reflect, recall. And so this retrieving information and recording historical information. It's not just like history of the church, of a congregation, of your family just drops from the sky. It has to be, you have to be active, you have to be intentional, you have to be patient, you have to do your homework. And I mean, KFUO is involved in that, CHI is involved in that, capturing this historical mm-hmm. stuff. That's a first priority. So especially when you think these days, who's not going to be here in 5 years? Who's not going to be here in 10 years?
That's one of my favorite things that I get to do here at KFUO is help tell people stories of how the Lord has blessed them, how God has provided for them, and that we might pass that on to the next generation. They might see the Lord's hand at work in lives in the past, in, you know, how the saints have served. And that they might pass that on to the next generation as well.
Mm-hmm. So I think, sometimes the sitting down with a recorder and just asking people questions, it's kind of been poo-pooed as far as, people get nostalgic. I mean, you talk about the old days and it's not accurate. Well, again, it's doing your homework, using the other primary source documents of history to kind of keep that all in check, to ask challenging questions sometimes, but again, in a friendly way, in a non-threatening
Certainly.
Way. So I think, again, oral history, if you have a church anniversary coming up, if you're doing a family history, we would like to provide some resources so that you know what's expected. And again, you know, there's rights that a person being interviewed has. So one of the things of doing an oral history is up front, you tell what are you going to do with this interview, and give people when it's transcribed, give the person interviewed a chance to correct maybe something that they, when they misspoke, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the people interviewed do have rights as far as how these things will be used. So there's even a release form. Maybe on occasion when you're doing recording a public event, you use those here at KFUO. But again, we have a responsibility when you're interviewing someone to let them know, okay, these are the parameters. This is how the information will be used. And that takes a little stress out of the situation. I mean, sticking a microphone in front of someone, you've probably had instances where that can be a very scary thing.
It's not for me, but for guests, it's kind of funny. There are times when, you know, you have a guest scheduled and they're used to presenting to large crowds, but yet there's something that I guess is intimidating about a radio program. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden they get choked up and can't talk as easily as they would in a regular, you know, everyday conversation or even in a presentation.
Right. So there's a difference between oral history and this kind of folklore. Sometimes it's like storytelling, right? But with folklore, it's more of, you know, you tell a story to impact or influence the audience. And that's not kind of where we're coming from. So again, the interviewer just doesn't turn on the mic and walk away. The interviewer, picks a location, a time that can be relaxing and kind of private, where people can reflect. But it's interesting, when people get older, sometimes they can recall the details better of what happened in their childhood 50 years ago, more than you would think. So I don't think you can say just, well, people are nostalgic and they just remember what they want to remember. Well, no, if asked the right questions, I think mm-hmm. some things are very vivid for people in their last days.
Where will we be able to find these resources?
We're coming up with a one sheet outline of mm-hmm. how to prepare, how to actually do the interview. Some of this is just common sense, nuts and bolts stuff. But I think as far as church history goes, it's not just about the person, but again, you know, how was God, especially in his grace and mercy, how do you see the hand of God redeeming our fallenness, our sinfulness, that kind of thing. That's part of our history.
And I bet this resource will be on the ConcordiaHistoricalInstitute.org website.
ConcordiaHistoricalInstitute.org, or give us a call and we can get that into your hands. But if you're thinking of that, it takes a little prep, and we'd love to be a fantastic resource for
ConcordiaHistoricalInstitute.org. Thanks so much, Dan.
Blessings.
God's blessings on your week. Coming up in just a little bit, morning prayer. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.